Hey guys, welcome to episode 5 of The Landing. I'm here with Yags again to talk about the NBA Finals. How you going, Yags?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. So let's get into it. So game one was yesterday. The Suns ran away with it at the end, but I definitely think the game was much closer than the media kind of portraying it as. Chris Paul, again, had like this like scoring display, which he's kind of just gone nuts the last like 4 or 5 games. But what are your thoughts on it? Where do you think the series is heading? Give me something.
Well, I thought, yeah, as you said, like, even though it seems like it was a blowout and the media carrying on a bit, I feel like it was actually quite a close game until the last 5 minutes.
Yep.
Obviously, Phoenix pulled away and they were the better side in game one. But, yeah, I think the series is still going very deep. I think Milwaukee will win it in 6 or 7.
Yep.
I think they're just a bit more talented on the top, have probably a few more guys. Obviously, they've sort of been there, like, been there in the past few years, been up and around the conference finals. Bit more experience. Not to say that like Booker and Ayton are like shying away from the moment. They've been awesome. But I think, and like you mentioned Chris Paul having a monster game, that's probably not going to happen every night.
Yeah, so I wouldn't want to be too reliant on him.
But then again,
to
he'll have like 15 assists another night. So yeah, he's just incredible. He's like, you could argue he's in the best form of his career. And he's what, like 36?
Yeah, well, he's kind of just doing exactly what the Suns need. So whether it's, if Booker, like Booker played pretty well, but if he's not going absolutely off, he's kind of like being like, all right, I just need to pick up my scoring. But yeah, he's been so impressive. And with the game yesterday, the Bucks were within maybe 7 points with about 5 or 6 minutes left. So it's, I think Forbes had a 3-point shot that he missed. Yeah, if he hits that, it's a whole new game. Yeah, Phoenix take a timeout and like it's game on, but they obviously hit those few shots. I think Payne hit a huge three. But I definitely thought it was like much closer. And I think a big takeaway is that Giannis looked relatively healthy. And obviously he's going to come in and not have that much confidence in his knee. But I think he looked like he moved pretty well. And although he wasn't as aggressive as usual, I think he took like 11 shots. But I think the Bucks will be pretty confident in being that close with Giannis being a bit tentative like to attack the basket as much. And I think Drew Holiday is not going to play that poorly the whole series.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. And you'd think Drew will also clamp down a bit more on Chris Paul considering he's such a good defensive player.
Yeah, I thought I was quite disappointed by Drew Holiday's defense.
Yeah, he's been a bit off this whole playoffs. Like even like that Brooklyn series, he just couldn't hit a three.
Yeah, I think
he's just, I don't know, he's lacking a bit of confidence. And when Giannis is on a minutes restriction and you're playing in the finals, you need him to be his
best aggressive to win. Yeah. I also think the thing with Drew Holiday, I've always been a big fan of Drew Holiday, especially when he's at Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And he's never been that A grade point guard, as much as like people marvel at his defense.
He's an A grade defender. He's not an A grade.
And like his general, like he's a good asset to have. He's definitely not that like next level in the top, but he's never been like a top 5 point guard.
No, never.
So I think that like that's when it shows, is in like these like clutch like playoff moments where he's not able to actually just get his own shot as well.
Yeah, I think he's still got like that amazing reputation from when he like destroyed Dame 4 years ago in that first round series. But like, yeah, apart from that, he's never sort of like dominated a series.
Exactly.
Himself.
Yeah.
And obviously that series he had AD, so he was still like the second guy.
Yeah. And what do you think? And I'm trying not to react too hard after a game one. I'm trying, because I still think the Bucks will win as well. Probably, it'd have to be 6 or 7 now. But Chris Paul, he's literally peaking at 36. What do you think this could do for his career if he, say, wins the chip from now?
Yeah.
Where does he go in the rankings? Does he, like, how big is this for him?
Yeah, I think it's massive because I guess right now he's sort of top 30 to 40 all time.
Something like that.
Something around that, like those areas. Like, I don't know exactly where, but if he wins this, he's probably goes into the top 20, top 25. Jeez. I don't know.
It's a big jump.
So I think he's like the 4th or 5th best point guard ever.
Yeah.
Even without winning one, if he doesn't win.
I think I have Steph, like 5th.
Behind Steph, Oscar.
Magic
and Isaiah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's massive because he's sort of one of those players who's like one of the best players to never win a chip right now, but if he wins one, he becomes like one of the best players and one of the best one of the best small guys to ever win a chip as like the number one guy. Like he's the number one guy on that team. As good as Booker is.
Agreed.
He is the reason they're in the finals. He's the reason like they're even in the playoffs. Like this Phoenix team didn't know how to win until he got there. And he's just incredible. I mean, it's amazing he's playing this well at this age.
Yeah, he's awesome. Like I've actually got a little story. So when I was in LA in 2016, start of 2016, I was went to a restaurant and Chris Paul was there.
Mm.
And being like a toy young bull, I was like, "Jeez, I need to get a photo with him." So I literally was like sitting at this dinner table, just like constantly glancing over, just being like, "Oh, like when's he gonna go to the toilet so I can get him?" So I literally waited till he went to the toilet and just happened. Oh, I think I need to go to the toilet as well. Went to the toilet and bumped into him as he walked out and got a photo with him. And
so you bound him up at like the urinal.
Yeah. Oh no, I waited till he came out of the toilet. Smart. Oh yeah, I'm not that creepy. But he was a really good, great bloke. And to put this in perspective, for him to be this good at his size, like I'm taller than him.
Mm.
And like think about that. He's going against like Giannis and whoever, like, and just like controls the tempo in any basketball game he's ever been in.
Yeah.
I think it's a real just like awesome kind of talent to be like that good at that size.
What's he, 6'1"?
He'd be six foot. Like he's
literally my height.
Yeah, they bump them up. In the height, like it's just like statistics on like the NBA.com.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's awesome for his career. I think he's just, I just can't get over how he just controls the whole pace of the game.
It's incredible. And like, I think he's sort of the last of his kind. There's no other point guards in the league right now that
I'm do also what he very, does. Like, I always get interested by that, like, type of comment because, like, there very well could be someone else that comes in.
Yeah, yeah, no. You know but I mean? I think right now, like, Steph and Dame are obviously, like, more shoot first.
Yeah, and where the game's even going
Steph,
is more
Steph
like,
knows how to control the game.
Yeah.
It's just in a different way, I guess.
He's still even a bit way more out of control than Chris Paul.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Chris Paul is, like, it's almost, like, so technical and so cerebral. Like, it's all in his head. He, like, knows. He knows. It's like he's, like, playing chess.
Yeah, dead
he
set.
He sort of knows what's happening ahead of the time. And you can sort of watch him. Because he's not, like, overly athletic or, like, overly, you know, like, all those other guys. Like, you know, Westbrook, for example. So he relies on his physicality. Yeah, exactly. Chris Paul's, like, it's all in his mind.
Yeah, well, I've always said that Chris Paul, if he was, like, 6'8", he'd be like LeBron. He'd be, like, literally, he's got the same, like, kind of mind.
Yeah,
same
yeah,
sort of IQ
point.
As LeBron. So I think he is honestly one of the best brains. And I would love to see him be, like, an analyst or something
like
that
afterwards. Yeah, he'd be a great analyst. And, yeah. Yeah, he's got to be, like, one of the best pound-for-pound players.
Yeah, so, and I just...
If he was, like, 6'10", he'd be...
He'd be insane. Yeah. Yeah, literally, it'd be Ben Simmons with a shot.
Yeah.
So then, moving on to the other side of the finals, we've got Giannis kind of like trying to put his kind of stamp and take that next step in his kind of legacy. If he wins, where does he go?
So he's won two MVPs. I don't know where he would be right now. Like, if he retired today, he's like this regular season jet who's never done anything.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Like, I don't know where to put him. And then he's sort of like the opposite of Kawhi. Kawhi doesn't have any regular season awards apart from the defensive part of the year. He's got the two chips and the two finals MVPs.
Yeah.
So if he wins this, like, I think in most people's eyes, he'll go from, say, being, I don't know if he's top like 50 right now, top 60.
Yeah.
I don't know where, like, I actually don't really know.
In that range.
Yeah, like, in that sort of range.
Because there's not many people with two MVPs.
Yeah, exactly. And then all of a sudden he could be, like, I reckon top 30 with potential to sort of, if he wins like two more, if he ends up with three chips and, you know, three MVPs.
He's absolutely
sick. He'll be top like 15.
Yeah.
He'll be sort of KD areas, which is incredible to think.
It's weird to think because he's like, we'll get into this as well, is it like he's got so many shortcomings, so it's kind of hard to... Give him his dues when he's got such like blatant like shortcomings
and
in regards to his shooting and like ability to handle the ball.
Mm. And like the other thing with this chip, it'll be interesting in a few years' time. Will people look at this as a bit of an asterisk chip, considering how many players got injured?
Yeah, like, I hate that.
I hate it too, but I guess like people will always say, you know, Giannis beat the Nets, but they didn't have Kyrie or Harden. And then, you know, Phoenix have beaten LeBron, like the Lakers with an injured LeBron and no AD for half the series. You know, no Kawhi in the finals.
But
like,
you literally look at every year, there's always
I know, but there's been a lot this year.
There has been.
Like
I think
like it was literally like falling off like dominoes.
Yeah, I did read a stat that the injury rate is still somewhat similar to like usual years, but there's just been so many big, names. Yeah. It's the big names where it's just like if LeBron or AD goes down, it's like, oh, he's down. Like, it's like, it's such a, like a more bigger impact than if you've got some like...
And that's the thing with basketball. Like, if two like Jets got injured in footy, you could probably cover it.
Exactly.
Because there's 18 on the field. But if you like, basketball's such a star.
Look at the Bulldogs in 2016.
Yeah, exactly. The Mighty Doggies.
Yeah.
That was a great run. But yeah, if you look at, the NBA, like when it's such a star-driven league, if you lose your best player, it's pretty like, pretty hard to win anything.
Exactly. But I'm also very, I try my best to get around, because it's still hard to win a finals. And like,
no, definitely. And being healthy. I'm not saying I am. I'm just saying.
Yeah, as much as like being healthy, like there's a lot of things that are out of your control. There is also a lot of preparation, which can, like, look at, for example, James Harden.
Mm.
If he'd maybe been fitter at the start of the year,
that's true.
More likely to do a hamstring strain. So it's just kind of like,
yeah,
there are things you can control. And I feel like not all the injuries are just purely just absolutely. Flukes.
Yeah.
And what are your thoughts on Chris Middleton? So he, I feel like he's definitely showing more than he has, ever has. Mm. I think he's been more reliable. And he's had a few games where he's just like actually finished the game, like hitting these huge shots and had like, whether it's like high 20s or early 30s in points. And is he seeing these like clutch, like small jump shots? These the shots that Giannis really lacks. What are your kind of like general thoughts on, has he moved up in your mind?
Yeah, I think he's sort of proven these playoffs, and especially when Giannis went out at the end of the Hawks series, he's sort of proven he's sort of like the perfect Robin to Giannis's Batman. Like, he's like the Scotty to the MJ. And he's proven that he's like the right guy to be that now. Whereas I feel like in previous years, there was always queries, is he the perfect guy to like be Giannis's Robin?
Yeah.
But I think he's definitely proven that now. And he's, I really like him. I feel like he just
seems, he's developing nicely.
He's sort of, he's quite reserved. Like, you don't, he doesn't like speak much in the media. Like, you don't hear about much, maybe because he plays in Milwaukee as well.
Yeah, but he doesn't exactly have like a huge brand.
Yeah, exactly. Or anything like that. He's like, but yeah, I think he's a really good player. He's, I wouldn't say he's a, like a superstar.
Yeah.
But he's like a very good player.
Like B plus, A.
No, yeah, he's exactly. A. But not A plus. He's sort of, he's been in the top, I don't know, 40 players in the league. Like 30 to 40.
Fucking 25.
Yeah.
I can 25 because it,
like, who would you have, him or Bradley Beal?
I'd have Beal.
Yeah.
They're like close. Like, I reckon Beal is like around like the 25. Yeah, because 25.
Beal's a Jet and scores like.
But can't do it on his own.
Did he win the scoring? No, it's Steph on the scoring title.
Yeah.
But Beal nearly did. Beal came second.
Steph pipped him.
Beal's like one of those guys that, like, if he had his own team, which he like does with Westbrook,
it just doesn't,
it's still not that good.
Yeah, no, I agree. But which, I reckon that's still.
Like, if Middleton was at one, he'd probably be the same.
Because I'd say there's only 15 players in the league that you actually, or even less, maybe even 12 that can actually, like, be.
Carry a team. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I guess PJ added himself to that.
Yeah.
He's like one of those guys, which is good to see.
I was so cut. What did you think about him getting knocked out?
I was going for the Clippers. I think when Kawhi went down, it sort of made them, I don't know, they kind of galvanized. It was cool to see. Tyronn Lue, like, such a good coach. But yeah, I know we both don't like Marcus Morris, but he was actually kind of mint in that series.
Even though it was a game, I remember in a group chat, I think it was game. It might have been game 6 where he started the game like 0-5, right? And I was like potting him. Classic Morris, Morris game. And then he just hit like 8 of his next 9 shots.
Yeah.
And they like were coming back. Like it. Yeah, I was very on the Clippers. And I think, what did you think about the, just quickly, the Kawhi Leonard to Dallas rumors? Did you see that?
That's interesting. Jeez.
I don't really see it happening based on just like him leaving. But
he's a free agent, isn't he?
Yeah.
I guess he can go. They don't have to package anything for him. I don't know.
The Clippers have also...
They would have the cap because they're not paying Luka or anything, are they?
Yeah. Not yet.
I mean, that would be like unstoppable.
That would be insane.
That would be ridiculous.
But I just don't see Kawhi leaving LA because I think he loves... Obviously, he's always wanted to leave LA.
Surely he stays now because they nearly won like the chip without him. Surely he realises that they can like win it next year.
Yeah.
If he was fit in the Sun series, they would have won that easily.
Yeah.
Because that's what they needed. The one thing they were lacking was just his like mid-range game, late in games. They would be one of the favourites to win it next year if he stays. So.
Yeah, I would have loved a Clippers chip this year.
Like, and they were unlucky, like in what, was it game 1 or game 2 when Ayton got the lob? Game 2.
Yeah.
So that, like, they lose that when PG missed a couple of free throws.
Yeah.
So they like could have won that. And they could have won game four, that really bad game when no one could score.
Exactly.
Because that was just like, that was the strangest game ever. So that, like,
the series was right there for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, they just didn't take it.
A few different ways. The ball bounced a different way. Yeah. Like St Kilda in 2010. It's a different story. I feel like, Kawhi to Dallas. That would be absurd.
Be insane. Doncic. Yeah. I wouldn't mind saying that happen.
Because you could play Doncic like full time, just point guard.
And then Kawhi could just chisel.
Yeah, just play him on the wings.
Yeah. What do you think about Ayton? So he's come onto the scene. Like, I watched him a lot this year, and he looked quite disappointing.
Hmm.
But he's been insane. He had 18 boards yesterday, 19 boards.
Yeah, he's a monster.
I think he is on a trajectory to be one of the best big men. Like, in regards to a traditional big man.
Yeah.
Which we don't really have that many of them these days. But what have you thought about his growth?
Yeah, it's incredible. I think, as you just said, throughout the whole year and throughout his whole career, he was sort of seen this liability.
Yeah.
And obviously he's from that really good draft with Young and Doncic. But again, as we said with Trae Young a few weeks ago, Ayton's proving it wasn't a bad pick.
It's been, even it's though you'd turning rather into take the GOAT draft.
Yeah, it's turning into the next 84?
Yeah, Jordan. Or 2003.
Yeah. It's incredible. And
84.
The Suns have proven it was a good pick by them, even though he's not as talented as Doncic or Trae, but he's perfect for them.
Yeah.
So, he's amazing. He reminds me of Dwight Howard with a bit of a better offensive game.
Yeah.
He's turning into just this beast.
And, not too much offense to Dwight. He looks like he tries more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dwight had all the
talent.
He just didn't work on his game as much. I think he's been awesome. I love watching a traditional big man kind of just get that, 18 and 19 game, which I like. For example, Rudy Gobert gets those games, but he just doesn't have, he can't keep up with the guards.
Mm.
I think Ayton can actually hold his own against a lot of the guards.
That's why it's that's such a good point, because he's so crucial. Because he doesn't get, against the Clippers when they weren't small, he doesn't get sort of exposed by that, Gobert does.
Yeah, exactly.
He actually can, as you said, keep up, which means that they don't have to take him off, so they don't lose their, third best player for, stretches or... He doesn't become sort of this big liability.
Exactly.
Whereas a lot of those big men, Gobert, they just become... they're so good in the regular season because teams aren't focusing on them because it's one game. But as soon as you get a 7-game series, they just exploit you.
Yeah, and that's where the league's going now, is that you're seeing so many small ball lineups.
Mm.
And it's going to really pay to be a big man that can actually move laterally and keep up with these guards. Because otherwise, you literally, as you said, you just can't be played because they just focus on you, just get all the switches on you, and you just get torched.
Exactly.
Yeah. So game two is tomorrow. What would you say in regards to importance of it? Obviously, it's more important for Milwaukee to hit back.
Yeah.
But I'll also add that in every series for the Bucks this year, and I think last year as well, they've lost the first game. I think in round one this year, it went to overtime with Miami.
Yeah.
So they won closely. But it's very easy to react early to game one because you see you just think, we've seen that and that's the only thing that's going to keep happening. But I don't think Drew Holiday is going to surely he fires up on Chris Paul. And I think tomorrow the Bucks hit back and win.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, it's not must win, but obviously they'd love to hit back. I think they'll win as well. It'll be interesting to see what happens to Giannis. Will he play still on a restriction or whatever? You just don't know. And as you said, you sort of can't see Drew playing that badly again. The only thing is, because they're at home, Phoenix, I feel like Phoenix have the way better bench.
Yeah.
They're deeper.
They're deep, and they're playing with so much confidence.
Yeah, so I feel like because they're deeper, you know how role players play better at home than they do away from home. I think that's... So, your Cam Johnsons and your Cam Paynes are so good at home. So, if they can sort of cool those guys down a bit, then I think the Bucks can win. But, it's not must win because, as you said, the Bucks just have this resilience this year. Even in that Brooklyn series, in that Game 7, it felt like KD just kept killing them. And they just sort of kept punching back.
Well, even think
taking the punches and then...
After Game 5, Game 5 with KD, everyone was like, all right, the Bucks are moving on.
Yeah.
I mean, the Nets are moving on, and the Bucks just kept, they won two games back-to-back. That was huge.
Yeah, they're really resilient. And even though I think Budenholzer is not a great coach, and he makes some, just such strange calls sometimes. So I definitely think Phoenix had the better coach in the series. But, I feel like they're really resilient, and, they've got all these, sort of pit bulls like PJ Tucker in their team, who have been there before. Like, yeah. You know, PJ was on one of those Houston teams against the Warriors. He knows how to like play these dogfights.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like they'll bounce back tomorrow. It'll be close.
Yeah, I agree. And obviously we were talking just before recording this about our kind of final, like favourite finals over the last like decade, which is, the decade's really like what we kind of remember. Mm. Obviously,
since we were like, yeah, sort of in high school, I guess.
Yeah, but like we were kind of talking about our like favourite finals over the decade. Do you want to kind of mention a couple of yours that we were talking about?
Yeah, so for me, like probably my number one in terms of just my memory would be that Dallas-Miami series.
Yep.
When
2011.
Yeah, Dirk beat LeBron and the Heatles. Because like, that was probably my first finals I watched like the whole way through, and I was so invested in it.
Yeah.
Because I think it was, I remember like TiVo. It was like that Foxtel for free to wear.
Yeah.
We had it at like Dad's place. And
one HD
as
well.
It was on one.
Oh.
So it was free NBA, which we do love. And yeah, I just remember that was such a good series because Dallas had this all these old vets.
Yeah.
Like Sean Marion.
Jason Kidd.
Dirk. Yeah, Jason Kidd. Jason Terry.
Yeah.
The Jet.
it was so
and
weird.
And they, like, it just seemed like LeBron was the biggest morals. Like,
yeah.
LeBron, D-Wade, Bosh. Like, they were so talented, so young. And Dallas just found a way, and Dirk was so clutch. And obviously everyone remembers that series for LeBron being bad, but I sort of remember it for being like just Dirk being incredible, and his J was so smooth.
Yeah, I think it was great because first of all the Mavs beat the Lakers, who were the back-to-back champions,
and the Thunder as well.
Yeah, yeah. With like a young like KD, and I think it was just awesome, especially Dirk had been fallen short over the years. Like, he obviously lost in 2006. But
yeah, to the Heat as well. So it's kind of revenge.
Yeah, revenge. And just for his career, it's similar to kind of somewhat like a Chris Paul finals. It's a kind of like championship,
yeah,
hopefully
late,
at the end.
Yeah.
And I think that was
like
awesome.
The cherry on the cake.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's also like awesome to see. So obviously the Heat were put together with like all these stars. It was good to see that, like, kind of like,
you don't have to be like that.
Yeah, yeah, like a more like team built on like chemistry.
Yeah.
And less star power, but more like role players.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, kind of win.
Yeah, I know.
That's kind of like,
yeah,
a win for the good guys,
yeah,
somewhat.
Like an underdog battle. Yeah. Yeah, so I love seeing
similar
that.
Similar to the Raptors beating the Warriors, kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, exactly.
Just where
though, yeah,
it's a win for the team that, like, isn't kind of given, like, all the chocolates.
Yeah, exactly. No, I completely agree.
Yeah. Another one that I obviously loved is the 2013. So the first Heat Spurs.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Which, when you think about it now, like, Spurs definitely should have won both of those.
Yeah.
Those in, like, 2013. But, like, they might have not come back as strong in 2014 if they'd won 2013. Mm. But obviously that's the Ray Allen shot, which is just, I remember watching that at school. Mm. And that was just honestly one of the most absurd finals I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's the best shot ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has to be.
It is, yeah.
It has to be.
To save the game. And who got, well, Bosch got the rebound, didn't he?
Yeah.
So, because they were
rebound.
Yeah, they always talk.
History pointer.
My brain. They always talk about, like, Pop not having Duncan out there to get that board. Like, he was on the bench, which is so weird.
But you can nitpick everything. If you get a bad loss, you can nitpick
but like,
anything.
So,
but like,
the interesting about that, too, is if Duncan wins that, he would have been 6-0 all time. So he would have had the same record as MJ in finals.
Wow, that's a stat.
So I wonder if he goes 6-0. Like, he's sort of viewed like top 8 kind of guy.
Yeah,
but
where
he might have gone into like top 3.
Well, you get to a point where you kind of have to.
Yeah.
Like
he would have been the same record as Jordan. He sort of had, like, you know, I don't know, he would have had at least 15 all-stars.
And you can say that him off any of those teams, they don't win. Like,
yeah. Oh, he was the glue. Yeah.
So it's,
yeah.
So yeah, like that's an interesting point. And yeah. I sort of just reckon it was also just good to see LeBron fire up.
Mm.
And that Heat team was a lot of fun. They had a lot of just like random just dudes, like the like
Mario Chalmers.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Mike Miller. When he, was that the series when he, like, he lost his shoe? Or was that the OKC?
I feel like that was the OKC series.
It was.
And he hit, like, what, 7 or 8 threes.
Yeah,
that was awesome. Also, another one of my personal favourites is, and I'm not doing the Warriors ones because I'll just get potted for being biased. That's why I haven't said any of them yet. But the,
I'll say them on your behalf.
Yeah, thank you. The 2010 Lakers one with the Lakers getting Boston in game 7. I think that was just an awesome redemption for Kobe's career as well. Kind of like, because obviously he won against Orlando the year before, but that definitely wasn't seen as like a huge chip. But the Boston one was definitely
one.
Yeah,
Orlando team didn't have anyone apart from Dwight.
Exactly. And but that kind of like shot him up and like being able to do it on his own, like without Shaq.
Yeah.
And I think that was just awesome and just a classic like Lakers, Celtics, like, slogfest.
Yeah, because obviously the Celtics beat them in 08.
Yeah.
And that, like, both those series were so mint.
Yeah.
Because you had, like, Pierce versus Kobe. Like, these two, like, alphas who, you know, obviously Kobe's better, but they're kind of, like, trash-talking guys.
Yeah, you got KG firing up. Like, Gasol was awesome.
The coolest teams.
Yeah, Gasol, no, I think that was a really...
Meta World Peace.
Yeah.
When he was run Artest. Like, Derek Fisher.
Yeah, like, no, all these nice guys.
Yeah, they're good memories.
Big Baby Davis.
Bynum. Yeah, Big Baby Davis.
Yeah.
James Posey.
Hey.
Eddie House. He played on that Miami team as well.
He's everywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that was an awesome series as well. And Yags and I were also talking about, like, the finals that we hear about that we weren't really conscious for.
Mm.
Either we weren't alive or we were, like, babies. But it's also, like if you had to pick, like, I don't know, a series that you could go back in and be alive and coherent, what would you, like, what, like, year would you pick? Like, what rivalry would you want to see? Like, if you had to pick one, whether it's, like, Magic Bird or...
Yeah.
What would you pick?
Yeah, I think one of them went 7. One of those Magic vs. Bird series.
Yeah.
I can't remember which year, but maybe it was, like, 1984 or something. I'd love to see that because they were, like, the two best players in the league. They also, like, they made the NBA popular, those two guys.
Yeah.
Those stars. Because before that, NBA was kind of, like, a bit of a... Like, it was, like, followed, but it wasn't this massive, like, world sport.
Yeah.
But Magic and...
into a powerhouse.
Yeah. And, like, you know...
Because you need those stars to kind of carry the brand.
Yeah, they kind of carried the NBA for, like, 10 years. And then you had, like, Kareem as well, and the Lakers, Worthy.
Yeah.
Byron Scott, Michael Cooper. And then, like, the Celtics had McHale, Robert Parrish, like... Dennis Johnson.
Yeah, yeah.
Danny Ainge.
It's funny, we see all these guys, like, now, like, whether they were coaches, like, McHale was obviously the coach of the Rockets.
Yeah.
And then Danny Ainge and stuff like that.
But
it's interesting that we hear about it and we can't really formulate our own thoughts because we just can't listen to whatever, like, content we watch or listen to. Like, whether it's about, like, Sam, that's why the Jordan-LeBron thing's so hard for us.
Yeah.
Is it, like...
We've only seen LeBron.
Yeah, well, personally, like my dad loved Michael Jordan, so obviously I was watching a lot of content when I was growing up, so I feel like I've got a better idea and, like, watched a lot of his, like, we had all, like, the finals games on video and stuff like
that. That's fair.
But it's always so hard. Like, I wish I was, like, more just, like, alive back then, so I could actually see, like, same as, like, the Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah,
just how weird.
And, like, that's even harder because there's, like, barely any sort of footage of it. There's no, yeah, it's like, because that's what, like, 1960s,
yeah,
1950s even.
Yeah, it's just so annoying to be able to, like, I'd love to be able to live that more so, because then you'd be able to talk about it. Compare eras so much, like, easier.
Yeah, like, that's why it'd be interesting to see, like, a complete, like, I feel like all the, like, talking heads, like, your Nick Wright, Skip Bayless kind of guys, they're so biased in their views. I'd love to hear, like, what someone thinks about LeBron versus MJ, who's seen them both.
Yeah.
Who are not, like, biased at all.
Well, that's why Bill Simmons is so... Even Bill Simmons is biased because he hates the Lakers. And, like, he doesn't really love LeBron.
And he loves MJ because, like, MJ, you know, was sort of... Like, you know, he dropped 63 in the garden, in Boston Garden at the time. And he was sort of in awe of him. And I guess, like, Simmons was, like, young when Jordan was growing up, and now he's a bit older. So
Like, to be fair, like, I don't think there's anyone in the media that just can't, like, is never not...
I know.
Because everyone, like, if you love the game enough, you have your own biases. Yeah, I know. But, like, I definitely know you, mate.
I have my biases too, but it's just...
Nick Wright's the worst ever, though.
Yeah, he's bad.
Yeah, but I also do think we're pretty lucky to have the players that we have right now. Like, we've had a pretty golden era.
Like, this year is the most talented league.
And this is...
In terms of depth.
And this is the new era.
Mm.
Whereas, like, we're... Obviously, the pillars of my basketball were just, like, Kobe, LeBron, Dirk and Ray Allen. And so it's awesome to see kind
of... Yeah, I feel like when we were younger, like, the top 10 players were just as good as they are now. But it sort of dropped off a bit more.
Yeah.
Whereas now you have, you know, guys like Dame and stuff who wouldn't even be people's top 10s, and they're just, like, dropping 30 a game.
Yeah, it's insane.
Breaking all these records. Like, it's incredible. And, you know, like, guys like Zion. Like...
Who hasn't even fully hatched yet.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, Luka is going to be... Like, I think he will be the best player in the league in, like, a year or two.
Just means we're randomly the oldest guys.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about it, like, yesterday. Because after England beat Denmark, and I was like... It's so... Like, I was talking about Bukayo Saka.
Yeah, yeah.
He's, like, 19, plays for Arsenal in England. And I was, like, explaining to Liv that it's, like, incredible now that we're, like, older than half these players. But you still idolise them.
Yeah,
so
no.
There's these 18-year-old kids who are like so good at
shooting basketball. And they're your hero, but they're like, yeah.
But it's like, because when I was like younger, I was used to think, oh, surely when you get older, you don't, you know, you look down on them a bit more.
But
I look up to them just as much. Even if they're like a baby and I'm 23.
Yeah, that's the best part about sport.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, but thanks for coming in again for the finals edition.
You're welcome.
I'm interested to see what happens. You. Maybe we'll do a review after the finals. But
that'll be fresh.
If you don't,
talk as well.
It's been awesome to talk to you throughout the playoffs and to really kickstart the landing.
Mm.
So we'll see what happens and go Bucks, I think.
Yeah, go Bucks. Yeah. But like, if Chris Paul...
Yeah, I won't be crying.
Mm.
Thanks, Yags.
Yeah.